Amen. Amen. That's so good. That's a keeper. That's a repeater. Amen. Very good. Ephesians chapter 6, if you will, please. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. Now, thank you very much, ladies. Appreciate that. That was good. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. I'm going to read three verses here, and we'll pray. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Let me read that again. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Now, just so you know, verse 2 says, "Honor thy father and mother," and you can jump down to verse 3 and put it on there, "that thou mayest live long on the earth." I've heard a few dads say, "I brought you into this world, I'll take you out." And I don't think that's what he's talking about there. However, I do believe it goes right along with what we've been discussing the last few, I was going to say weeks, but it's been months, I know, on the blessings of God. He says, there's something I want you to do here. And he says, "I'll bless you. You'll have what you'll need. I won't run you out. I won't starve you out. I won't thirst you out." That's not the word I'm looking for, but you'll be able to have the blessings of God, and this is one of those things that we need to look at, and I think we tend to overlook it. So let's have a word of prayer, and we're gonna talk about this morning. Honor thy mother. Honor thy mother. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings, and I thank you for the good morning you've given us already, the sweetness of it. Give us your wisdom, and what we have coming up here in the next few weeks in the election. And then, Lord, I pray that you'll bless our time here as we open your word again this morning. Help us to take this for the seriousness that you have made it to be. And may we realize some things here. Maybe we've never really thought about it that much. Lord, we need you. So we put in your hands, we ask in Christ's name. Give me your power, please. Amen. We've been speaking on how to have the blessings of God and how to avoid being a victim of the curses of this world. We are to hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord and observe to do all his commands. And we've heard that over and over and over again in the last few weeks. Now, in the midst of the Lord's commands is a principle that I think is often overlooked. And I think it's shrugged off. I think it's seen as a nicety. I think it's seen as a sentimentality. I think it's something we do a couple times a year, Mother's Day, birthdays, Christmas or something like that. But for some reason, it does not seem to carry the same weight and urgency that other commands of God seem to carry. I mean, God says, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, and all these things, you know, they kind of carry a lot of weight. But then you have these little things like, honor thy father and thy mother. Well, okay. I said, well, you know, I guess I take care of that along the way. I guess it'll be all right. I mean, what's he expecting? Well, we're going to talk about some of that today. It has to do, first of all, with honoring authority. And God has put authority in place. That principle is to begin in the life of each person with the relationship they have with their parents. However, for some reason, one of the most common problems we have in submitting and honoring authority is honoring the parent and child relationship. And for some reason, many children have a difficult time honoring their mother, even when mom is loving, caring, giving, and forgiving parent. We've all seen the kids in the grocery store who yelling at mom and screaming at mom and won't let her go, and she takes the candy bar and put it back on the shelf, and he takes the candy bar and puts it back in there. And you know, and while she's putting one on the shelf, he's grabbing something from this all over here, and he's putting it in, and they start out pretty early. And I wanted, you know, yelling and screaming and down the floor and carrying on and all this kind of stuff. And That's not honoring mother and father. And most of all, it's mom who's having to fight that in the grocery store by herself. And after a while, if you're not careful, before you know it, they're kicking her in the shins. You know, and they're screaming and crying, and that's not so to be. Now, we selfishly take our parents for granted. And why not? We began life with our mothers taking care of us and waiting on us hand to foot. They pamper us from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet and everywhere in between. I mean everywhere. And as adults, we have to go to a spa to get treatment like that. You know, you got the baby and he's rubbing the lotion on it and rubbing its back and giving it there, you know, and all this stuff and just, you know, wiping her down, you know, and all this, you know, and just, man, we'll take it. And we think it's, you know, after a while we think it's, we deserve it. We must be really wonderful people. But if we are not careful and if we are not trained otherwise, we may live our lives presuming upon mother rather than appreciating and honoring our mothers. There's a certain fear of the father, and even a certain sense that we must almost measure up in order to receive our father's respect and affection. And I'm not saying that's the way it should be, but often that's the way it is. However, then there's mother. There's nothing quite like a mother's love. You've got to expect it. You know, when no one else cares, well, your mother does. You've heard the old saying, he has a face only a mother could love. And every time I say that phrase, I think of my wife's brother, Phil. Nice guy. But what her mother said, when he was born, he had to be the ugliest baby she had ever seen in her life. Isn't it awful? And she's a nice lady. She's a very nice lady, but she says, I love him. Of course I love him, but it looked like a monkey. He had to be the ugliest baby ever seen in my life. But anyway, you know, he's not such a bad-looking guy. I'll be honest with you, he's a nice guy. He's a wonderful guy. But, you know, we expect to a certain point that our mother will love us. She has to. She's our mother. So many times our flesh takes mother's love for granted, and we stop appreciating what she's done for us and is doing for us and will do, and begin to expect it as a minimum requirement for a mother, and some may even go so far as to demand it without a hint of gratitude. So actually, your song was very apropos here this morning. One of the telltale signs of a corrupt society is when parents are dishonored. Look who those who do not honor father or mother are associated with. Let me just read this to you. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 1 says this. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Listen, right in there with all that bunch of mess. Being disobedient to parents is a sign of being a lover of our own selves. I want what I want. Romans 1:28 is talking about how man can get into such deep, awful sin. And it says here, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they don't care what God says, they don't want to know what God says, they don't want to have to be answerable to God. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. What? How'd that get in there? I mean, that's not as bad as a hater of God. Fornication, unrighteousness, wickedness, maliciousness, disobedient to parents. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Disobedient to parents. So we don't look at it with that kind of weight. He said, you know what, if you're disobedient, you know what your problem is? He says, you have a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind means unacceptable thinking to God, corrupt understanding, a worthless, rejected way of looking at things. Those who are disobedient to parents do not care what the Lord God thinks. If your parents do not mean much to you, then apparently God doesn't mean much to you. Now, I'm not sure that many people understand the emphasis that the Lord puts on honoring our parents and how we may be losing, I believe this, watch me, losing the blessings of God simply because we do not properly honor our folks. I think some adults think that since mom and dad are older and we are out of the house and we want to live our own lives and that mom and dad are more of a bother to us than a help, we don't need to be nice to them because they don't help pay our way in life anymore. Besides, mom and dad are of an intrusion, more of an intrusion than a help. That is the selfish self-love and reprobate minds kicking into gear. The Lord says, you want me to help you and you won't even help take care of your own parents who fed you and clothed you. I'm sorry, wiped your butt. Let me give you a couple things here. Number one, if you think you can just shrug off honoring your parents, you say, my parents were not honorable. That's not what he asked. I'm sorry. Bible says love your enemies. You might even think your parents are your enemies. He says if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him the drink. If he's naked, give him clothes to put on. And so heap coals of fire upon his head. That doesn't mean you're going to make their hell hotter. It means you're going to melt them down. You might win them to Christ. They might actually come around. Well, they should have done it first. Maybe they should have. But they didn't. Do you have the love of Christ in you? The love of Christ says, Lord God, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what the love of Christ does. So I don't think I can do it. Well, when we get done here, we'll offer you an opportunity to receive Christ and get the mind of Christ in you, and maybe you can. I'm not saying it's easy. It's almost impossible if you're going to do it on your own. But the love of God in you, all things are possible. So they never did it for me. Why should I start it? Why shouldn't you? You might be surprised. You think your parents don't know how mean they were to you. They probably do. What if they saw the love of Christ in you and that unconditional love, knowing how much they do not deserve it? You might be surprised. Sometimes you have to start first. I was 29 years old before my father ever said, I love you. You can say, well, I've grown up my entire life and they never said, I love you. Maybe. But you know what I decided? I decided that God wants me to love my parents. So I started some years before that telling Dad when I left, love you, see you later. It's weird to do that with your father. See, my dad grew up in an era where you don't say things like that to your sons. You know, you don't hug your sons. You know, you don't get all mushy with your son. It's just weird. And I understand that, and it can get weird. But you know, little boys still want to know that daddy loves them. Just as a smack on the backside says daddy's displeased, a hug around the shoulder and a good old squeeze, even if you do it boy style. Yeah, I love you, you know. It's okay. Because we need it. So I started telling my dad that. And then one day, he said it back. I mean, for a little while, when I talked to him on the phone, I get ready. Well, I'll see you later, Dad. Love you. But I wasn't doing it to get I love you back. I was doing it so my dad knew I loved him. Well, he never told me he loved me. Well, yeah, but he wasn't saved. Why do we love Christ? Because he first loved us. If I can show him the love of Christ first, then maybe I can win him over. You might be surprised. And I remember the day he took my hand and asked me, what do I need to do to make sure if I don't get out of this hospital, I'm going to be okay, I'll be in heaven. And I had a chance to lead him to the Lord. And I'll tell you what, everything changes. All things was new when he found me. Then I met the Master, and now I'm one of his own. Number one, God is very protective of mothers. Don't pick on your mother. I'm serious. Don't disrespect your mother. I don't care whether you're 15 or 55 or 105. I'm not sure how old mom is at that point, but don't disrespect mom. She has a special place in God's heart. He got on the backs of the Pharisees for not taking care of their parents. Turn over to Matthew 15. I got to really get moving here. Matthew 15. Look at verse 4. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. Jesus is speaking, he's talking to the Pharisees. Of course, the Pharisees were probably the closest ones to obeying the word and the law of God as you could get. And during those 400 years between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, the Pharisaical sect was being developed. One of the things they got together was a Talmud, some other things, and they wanted to obey God's law to the nth degree. And it was all outward show, but they wanted to do it to the nth degree. So they had all these rules. You couldn't even cut your toenails on the Sabbath, because it was work. You know, all kinds of crazy stuff. But they'd find these little loopholes to do as they pleased, because inside they were, as Jesus said, they were just whited sepulchers. Outside looked wonderful, inside just full of dead men's bones. And so they were complaining to Jesus because the disciples were not obeying their traditions. And he says, "Well, you're not obeying mine." You know, and so he gives an example. God, in verse 4, Jesus says, "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." So he brings this up. This little thing that we keep shrugging off, honoring mom and dad. We think, well, it's okay, they don't care, you know, it doesn't matter. No, it does matter. Now it says, honor them. And he that curseth father or mother. Now, again, remember what a curse is. Curse is saying you don't get any of the blessings of God. You're on your own, and may the world just suck you in and do you damage. So basically, he was saying you're leaving your parents alone to survive in the curses of this world by themselves. He's going to explain that a little bit more in a minute. He says, if you do that, he says, let that person die the death. What does that mean? You deserve to be left to the curses of this world and be destroyed and killed by this world. If that's what you're going to do to your parents, that's what you deserve. Verse 5, but ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, you say, it's a gift. What's all that mean? This means this. There was no welfare. There was no Social Security. There was no retirement funds. There was none of that. So when a person could no longer work, they were now basically at the mercy of their own kids to take care of them. And that's why a widow or an orphan were in such bad shape, because there was no family to take care of them. So they were, quote unquote, destitute, which is what widow means, destitute. And so he said, the problem is you're not taking care of your family, even though you have money. And I'll tell you why you're not. He says, what they found a loophole. They would take money or funds or items, and they would dedicate them to the temple or to the synagogue that they serve in. Let's say they gave them $50,000, but they were also being compensated by the synagogue and the temple to do their work. So they just kind of put that on their account. And so not only were they getting paid what they're supposed to get paid, but then that same money is going to come back to them. Let's say they wanted to, buy a 300 horsepower chariot, and they couldn't just go out and buy it. But they could give the money to the temple and let the temple buy them their car. You know what I mean? See what I'm saying? But when it came time to give their parents money because they needed it, I'm sorry, I'm tapped out. I gave it all to God. You see what I'm saying? So they found a loophole that they could, quote unquote, give it to God, but it really was given to themselves, and they didn't have to waste it on their parents, as they thought. And God said we're supposed to honor our parents. And part of that is to take care of them, provide for them, watch over them best we can. Now, your parents may have other ways of doing that, but that's what it's actually saying. And so God says, listen, I want you to take care of your parents. To say you love God, And you're obeying and serving God and then failing to care for your own parents is a false sense of spirituality. Also, remember how the Lord made sure his own mother was cared for. I mean, God cares about mothers. Remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross? And he's got nails through his hands and through his feet. He's got a crown of thorns on his head. He's been beat to a pulp. And what's he say? Mommy, help me. Mommy, help mommy. No, he said, John. Is it Mary? Mom, mother? Behold your son. Behold your mother. You take care of her like she's your mother. I'm not going to be here. You take care of her. You know what he was doing? He was saying, I need you to be what I would have been for her. He was honoring his mother right down to the last moment. So if you want to be like Jesus, you need to care for your parents. Just like they were supposed to care for you. Number two, maintaining respectful relationship with our parents is one of the foundational principles of God's law. Maintaining a respectful relationship with our parents is one of the foundational principles of God's law. You can't argue with your mom and call her bad things and disobey her and all this kind of stuff and consider yourself right with God. You can't. Now, I do want you to remember this. Children obey, but we're all supposed to honor. You may not be a child anymore. You may not be living underneath their roof. You may not be, they may not be paying your bills and so forth and so on, but you're still their child, even though you're 55 years old or whatever. You know, you need to honor your parents. Be respectful to them. Make sure they're cared for. Now watch me. Exodus 20, verse 12 says this. This is the giving of the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That word honor means to consider weighty. I'm not saying you're saying that your mother's fat. Catch that? Consider weighty. But no, It means that they carry a lot of weight with you and in your eyes. What they say matters much. Their input, you value their input. You're going to at least consider what they're saying. You don't just shrug it off. So we honor father and mother. Why? That our days may be long upon the earth. Wait, listen. You will most likely make fewer bad decisions if you listen to the experience and the wisdom of your parents. Now, maybe they're very unwise. I don't understand. But I also have found that every man's my teacher. Some teaches me what not to do. But every man's my teacher. But if my parents are going to give me advice, I don't say, shut up. I live my own life. That's not honoring my... They should have barged in there. See, they're still your parents. You at least say, well, let me think about it. Let me mull it over here. And you know what? Sometimes when our pride gets out of the way, we might find out, they might realize they were right. In fact, the older I get, the wiser my father was. Or, this is a command of God, and thus you will be hearkening to the voice of the Lord and observing to do it, and thus you will be blessed by the Lord rather than left vulnerable to the curses of the world, so you'll get to stay in the land a little longer. Maybe they're totally up the wrong creek, but honor them anyway. God says, I'll bless you for it. I'll bless you for it. It's restated again in Deuteronomy 5:16. That's the second hearing of the law. It says, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, and thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You hear what it said there? Honor your mom and your dad. And it said, I'll help it go well with you. He didn't say necessarily that directly their words of wisdom is going to help them. He says, I will bless you in the land that you're going to go. Do it because I told you to. Well, I don't see that. Do it because I told you. I don't. So now we're basically saying God doesn't know what he's talking about either. I mean, it could be as simple as your parents saying, make sure the lawn's mowed. When I get home, you'll be happy. What do you mean? I'm just saying, mow the lawn, and you'll be glad that you did when I get home. And so when he gets home and you don't mow the lawn, he takes everybody else out for ice cream, but you get to stay home and mow the lawn. Now, it's not hurting you anymore than would have hurt you before, but you should have just gone ahead and done it. You would have been blessed. You see what I'm saying? God says, I'll take care of you. I'll help take care of you. So I don't know where it's coming. It doesn't matter where it's coming from. God said he'll take care of it, and he controls everything so he can make it work some way, somehow, wherever it may be. No, you understand? Number three. I'm sorry. Let me go back. How does being disrespectful and disobedient to our parents cause us to ruin our lives or ruin our nation? Watch this. I understand a few bad moments, we all have a bad day, are not going to ruin our family and our nation. We need to take care of it, not let it go. But consistent disregard for our parents and thus disregard for the Word of God slowly destroys us as time goes by and as generations pass. Look over at Proverbs 30 real quick. Proverbs 30. I'm going to really move. I won't be able to give you a whole lot of illustrations, but I'll bring some things to your attention here as we finish up. Proverbs 30, verse 11. Look what it says. It says, there is a generation. When it says generation like that, it means a society in a moment of time or an era of time or a group of people. There's a social element. There's a certain society. He says, there is a generation that curseth father and doth not bless their mother. Now it's talking about really early on in life when the kid's kicking mom in the shins and fighting her at the grocery store and fighting to go bed and all this kind of stuff, you know. They just don't want to obey. And they kiss and I curse. And you ever seen kids spit on their parents? And awful stuff. They're looking for trouble. But it all starts right there. And the fact is, parents, we need to make sure we train them from the very beginning, because if we don't train them from the very beginning, we're going to have a big time problem later. So, well, I feel funny telling them to respect me and treat me nice because, you know, it sounds a little self-serving. You can look at it any way you want, but the fact is, if they don't learn how to respect their parents, they're not going to respect anybody else. They're not going to respect the policemen. They're not going to respect the laws. And before long, you're going to be visiting them in jail. I'm just telling you. I don't want to sound bad, but the fact is, unless something intercedes and intervenes there, you're going to have a problem. So it all starts out because they just don't want to obey mom and dad. Verse 12. There's another level. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. They start out thinking mom and dad owes them and being mean to them. And after a while, if you take it, they're going to disrespect you all the more. Now, I'm not saying you walk turn around and smack them until they hit the wall. I'm not saying that. But they've got to be trained. There's got to be some kind of consequence. But he says, after a while, he says, listen, I can do whatever I want. And no one mom and dad doesn't tell me to stop. So I can do as I want. I'm clean in my own eyes. I'm fine. Whatever I think is right. Where it comes. Verse 13. Next step. There's a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Before long, mom, you're so stupid. That's not the way it works. I'll show you how it works. Well, you don't know anything. And before long, you know, they're just unkind to everybody. They just think you can do whatever they want. And finally, verse 14, there's a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. After a while, not only do you owe it to me, if you don't give it to me, I'll just take it. And that's how they develop. Now, don't get scared. Every kid has rebellion in him. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. So, my child did it on my soul. We're going to find him in jail. No, the foolish is bound in the heart of the child, but a rod of correction shall drive it far from him. He that spared the rod hateth his son. Again, I'm not saying you beat him to death. I'm not saying until you beat him to black and blue. But the fact is, sometimes you have to be pretty aggressive, not out of anger. Don't try to out-muscle them or out-intimidate them. Just out-endure them. Don't give up. Just keep at it. Just keep at it. Just keep at it. And again, most times, once they're past 4 or 5 years old, so I don't spank a kid that young. That's when you spank them. That's when you do, because they don't understand. You could try to reason it all out with it. They can't reason like that at that age. They're still living very concretely, mentally. So that's when you do it. And again, and by the way, you don't have to do it much before they're crying. You didn't hurt anybody. But if you can win their heart by the time they're 5, before they go to school, you'll have them probably. Sorry about that. I think once our kids got above 5, I don't know, we spanked them more than once or twice. Maybe. And that's when they were just purposely defiant. And just, you know, just not going to break. Well, you know, you don't break their spirit, but you break their will. Let me give you number 3. Now watch me. Blatant disrespect of parents is considered a lethal offense by God. You could say a mortal sin, if you will. Exodus 21, this is right after the giving of the law. Verse 15. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. In other words, we don't want this stuff around here. You let this go, we're going to have it all the way through the nation. We're not going to have this. Verse 17, he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Just yell at the wrong way. I don't need you. Get out of here. You're stupid. He said, no. He said, we don't want it here at all. Should not be there. I remember when I was a kid, my dad came home one night after work, and I don't know what had happened, but best I can understand, one of his buddies, his boy either got messed up in drugs, ended up in jail over drugs, or almost had an overdose dose and died with the drugs. I don't know what it was. But my dad came home, and you could just see his blood pressure was high, and he almost made a beeline toward me. And all of a sudden, he just started cranking on me, and he just started railing on me. Don't you ever do drugs. If you ever do drugs, I'll kill you. Now, he didn't want me to die. That's why he didn't want me to do drugs. So I knew what he meant, you know. But he just kept on and on and on. My dad wasn't saved yet. And he went on and on and on. And I said, Dad, I don't do drugs. Shut up. Listen to me. And he was going on and on and on. And I said, Dad, I'm thinking stupid to do drugs. He didn't listen to me. Close your mouth. But Daddy smacked me. And before I realized it, I smacked him back. And I went. And he went. And I turned around and ran upstairs and locked the door in my bedroom, and it was never heard about. It was never mentioned again. But I'm not saying, but that shouldn't happen. Now, the Bible says you shouldn't provoke your child to anger. Now, I'm not. I should also be. I should be honoring my parents, so I shouldn't have done it, no matter what he did. But that was just bad all the way around. Leviticus 20, verse 7 says this, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. In other words, set yourself apart from the rest of the world. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. And then it says, separate yourself from the world and do right. Well, here's the first thing he mentions. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Don't pity him. He shouldn't have disrespected his parents. Now, I'm not saying God's supposed to go around killing people for this, but that's how God hates it. And we think we're going to be live blessed, live under the blessing, because obeying our parents and honoring our parents doesn't mean anything. Watch this. Parents deserve personal respect and dignity. Leviticus 18 says, the nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She's thy mother. Now, she'll not uncover her nakedness. And we say this, don't embarrass her. Don't mock them. Don't make fun of them. You may not think it's a big deal, but the Lord says it's very serious. Proverbs 20:20 said, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure dark darkness. You ever hear somebody, put your lights out. You mistreat your parents, God says, I'll put your lights out. You'll be seeing stars. I'll give you a whole bunch of them. Number four, the Lord wants us to resort to the comfort and the care of our parents. Really, no matter how old you are, we can benefit from the parent-child relationship. Leviticus 19:3 says, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Sabbaths means resting. So he says, I want you to fear your parents and keep my Sabbaths. All in one word. What does that mean? Just fear and obey them. Sabbath means I'm going to trust God to take care of the problems. I'm just going to rest in that. Go ahead and rest in that. Well, I don't like what they're doing. Just go ahead and rest in it. Let the parent-child relationship go. Number five. Those who refuse to honor mother and father are left to live under the curses of the world. Deuteronomy 27:16. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say amen. That's going to come right out of the curses that we're going to do in Deuteronomy 27 here in a few weeks. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. God really doesn't like this. Number six, those that choose to continue to honor father and mother will see the hand of the Lord's blessing on them. Proverbs 1:8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. And of course, Ephesians 6, we already read it. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Number seven, it is wise not to leave behind what your parents have taught you. Now, everyone's my teacher. Sometimes, like I said, sometimes they teach me what not to do, but Proverbs 6:20, the son keepeth thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall walk with thee and talk with thee. Many people grow up and get out from under the hand of their parents, and then they choose to do most things the opposite of what their parents taught them, almost in spite. And then they don't understand why they have all these problems, because they don't want to humble themselves enough to obey their parents. Some people almost see their parents as non-persons. Non-persons. Well, just my parents. Some folks not only take their parents for granted, but they think they have a right to impose on them, to just assume their parents will bail them out. Some folks, including kids and teenagers, think it's their parents' job to take care of them, provide for them, that they come to a point where they don't even ask if the parent could or would help them. Instead, they just take it. That's called stealing. Well, kids will say, well, it's okay. They have plenty of money. No. I'm sorry. We have plenty of money. They'll say, we have plenty. No, you have nothing. Your parents have money. You have nothing. But Proverbs 28:24 said, whoso robbeth his father or his mother and said, it's no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. There's kids who just think there's nothing to get into their parents' purse and take money. Well, I need it, and they're going to give it to me anyway, so I'll just take it. You have no right to do that. Every once in a while, I worked at a drugstore when I was a kid, a teenager, and I worked behind the counter. And one time this boy came up to the counter, and he was buying all these goodies. You know, it was one of those old typical drug stores with the soda fountain and everything in it, and the soda jerk. And that's what they call them, the soda jerk. And so, he came and he was buying all this candy. And he laid it all up there. And then he laid a dollar. And then a couple dollars that were still on the gold standard, And you pick them up, and they smell like potpourri. And he was going to buy candy with this money that I'll guarantee he got out of Mama's dresser. And he started buying. I said, "You don't want to buy this with this." Oh yeah. No, you don't. You don't want to buy that with this. These here are worth more than the face value of these. They're worth more than this candy is. I think you ought to take those home to your mom. He said, "Now I want to buy them." He was very obstinate. So actually, I had to let someone else take it. I wasn't going to take it. I didn't want to put my hands on that stuff. It was stolen property. I'm almost done. Last point. Make mom happy. Make mom happy. And not just on Mother's Day with burnt toast and soggy eggs and seedful orange juice. Spilled on her lap in bed. and pancakes that bounce. Watch this. If you want to experience the blessings of God in your life rather than the curses of this world, make mom happy. Proverbs 19:26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Proverbs 10. Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh glad a father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs 23:22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee. Despise not or look down on. Despise not thy mother when she's old. Buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. You know, that's a little principle. So, well, I'm glad he told us that. Take care of our moms. That's a nice message. This is part of the Ten Commandments. If you won't do it for them, at least do it for yourself. God says, I'll bless you that keep his commandments. And that's one of them. And you stop doing that, you miss the blessings and you're back under the curses, at least in some areas of your life. Don't miss out. Well, say, well, I've got a parent that I just hate because they were just mean and nasty. You realize God commendeth his love toward us and that while that person was a sinner, he died for them. He bore their sins on the cross. And you can't give them a call. You can't show up at the door and say, you know what, I probably wasn't always the best kid, was I? And I'm sorry that I brought you to your wit's end. Now I'm older, I appreciate what you've done. Maybe I didn't understand it. Maybe I still don't understand all of it. But you're my mother, and I'm going to love you. You're my father. I'm going to respect you and love you. It is all things you got to think about. But for no other reason, do it for the sake of your relationship with him. Watch, even if they won't receive it. But you got to go to him sincere. You don't want to see me, do you? No, I didn't think so. I don't want to see you either. Okay, quick. No. Humble ourselves. God gives grace to the humble. Might be surprised what he can do through you.